This call is now being recorded.
Well, thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's IRD call on Monday, the 11th of October, we have Edmund Chung, Rafik Damak, James Gelvin, Robert Hutchinson, Owen Smigelski, Ram Mohan. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Dave Biscatello, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And I do not have any apologies noted for this call. If I could please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Julie.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And I should note that I did actually receive a message from Avri Doria, who did send her apologies. She's unable to join the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. I had sent around a couple of documents a little bit earlier today. I sent the staff summary document that we've been using to guide our discussion, and I also sent around the meeting notes from last week. We had addressed a couple of items last week. There was quite a bit of discussion relating to what was within the remit of the working group and with respect to whether or not some of the recommendations from this group would be taken up by within ICANN if they related to protocol would be taken up perhaps in the ITF. And just to remind everyone, Dave had noted that this working group, you know, and with respect to its scope, is determining the data that are needed for international registration following the recommendations from this group. And this group, just to remind all of us, we're working on a set of preliminary recommendations or preliminary report to be able to be provided at Cartagena. Following the recommendations from this group, ICANN may form a work group to decide how to signal any changes so that clients and servers will know what they're doing. And that work group might then decide who is going to publish the standard, if there is a standard, and whether that would come out of ICANN or IETF. So this group is looking at the data that are needed, and there may be subsequent steps and subsequent recommendations relating to that. Are there any questions with last week's, not last week, the week before last, or I guess it was last week, well, anyway, from the last meeting and, it was 2 weeks ago, sorry. Are there any questions with respect to the notes from the last meeting? And if not, we can take up where we left off in the staff summary document. Thank you. Hearing no questions, I'm going to go ahead then and pick up in the staff summary document. Does everybody have that document for reference?
Yes, I do. This is Ron.
Great. So we left off. We had talked about the backward compatibility issues somewhat, and that was on page 7, and we were now moving along from there to question number 3, should WHOIS support multiple representations of the same registration data in different languages or scripts? Is it desirable to adopt a must-be-present representation of data in conjunction with local character set support for the convenience of local users? And I think we did, this was a little bit of the discussion that we got into last week with respect to what's in the scope of this working group. But if we look at the summary document of previous discussions, we talked about the possibility of there being different models for handling the contact information, including registrant name, administrative contact, technical contact, and postal addresses. Description of Model 1. Model 1 would require registrants to provide their WHOIS data in a must-be-present language. In addition, registrars may also require registrants to provide their contact information in a local language, and there is a figure describing that. So, perhaps, I don't know, and Dave, I'm any guidance you have here is useful too, and well, and Edmund is our chair. Do we want to talk about each of these models separately, one after the other? What are the preferences here? Okay. Why don't we go ahead and start with
first? I'll defer to Ed. I think the point staff has to, what the working party wants to do.
Right. That's a great point, Dave. And this is Julie. And I just want to emphasize that what staff would like to be able to do is have enough clarity to put together a preliminary report for this working group to look at. And so the sooner we can get clarity on some of these issues, the better, so that we can get a report out for all of you to look at that we can then have published prior to Cartagena. And there is a document deadline for Cartagena, and we really would need to try to get something together, say, by the beginning of November, no later than November 15th, should these items be published. And so time is moving along very quickly.
Julie, this is Ram.
I
have several comments on the staff summary document.
Wonderful. Please go ahead.
Okay. The first is on page 4 of the document. Some of these are nits and some of these are larger issues. So I'm just gonna go in order and just go page by page what my comments are, and then you can decide which ones to discuss and which ones are not necessary. The first one is on the bottom of page 4, the last paragraph says, previous working group discussions require that all variants, that's how the paragraph starts. The second sentence says, languages and scripts such as Indian, I'd like that to be changed to INDIC, INDIC, because there is no Indian script as such, but there are INDIC scripts. The next comment is on page 5. Under the item name server names. It says there the working group has not discussed this issue. Then it goes on to provide some alternatives and some suggestions on what should be done. And I did not find that the discussion of the alternatives useful at this point, simply because we have not yet discussed it, and I'm not sure what value there is in providing to the community what the alternatives might be when the working group itself has not taken the time to review it. The next comment was on page 6, which is, again, similar. This is on the item that says dates. We've not really discussed dates, and what's considered here, internationalization, is a little different in scope, it seems to me, than the other types of internationalization, because the other types of internationalization we've been talking about have to do a little bit more with, conformance with multiple languages and scripts. I see the uniformity of, looking at this and saying, should this also be internationalized? But since we've not discussed it, I worry about providing alternatives that people can comment upon if we haven't actually discussed that inside of our committee.
Ram, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Julie, but I think, and Dave, please chime in, but keeping in mind that this is a document from July 30th, and we've actually been discussing, we've been going through very systematically through this document, but though, and discussing each of these things, including dates, on an earlier call, probably several, at least a couple of calls ago, I think the call before the last one that Steve Shang sent notes around on, because I know he's been following through the document and discussing these items. And so the fact that it says here the work group members did not discuss the internationalization of this field is referring back to the discussions that happened prior to July 30th.
I understand that, and in that case, it should just be clarified, because those two things are in contradiction one to the other.
Well, keep in mind that this is this document has not been updated to reflect the discussion that has been happening since July 30th, and this document is not the document that will be the preliminary report. the preliminary report will capture all of the discussions that we've been having since we put out this document, and will capture, you know, what the work group discussed, for instance, with respect to these dates. So this is not the document that is going to go out to anyone, you know, that says this is what, you know, the work group did or didn't do. There is an updated document that we are preparing that will capture all of the more recent discussions, including on this item.
Bob, this is Dave. I think that my sort of vision for what we would publish, or what staff would provide the working party to publish, is something that's similar to the registration of use pre-PDP kind of document. It would be a report of, you know, of what was considered and discussed in committee, but not but would not have recommendations. It would have, a list of what, you know, I guess SAC would typically call findings, and then there would be further work to try to refine what we would actually recommend as the committee receive feedback from the community on the initial report.
Understood. Thank you.
And I'm sorry for interrupting, Rahm. I just wanted to clarify that because there will be updates so that some of what you are looking at here in the staff summary is open.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some of it that is work in progress. I understand, and that actually removes quite a few of the other comments that I had. I really liked let me just follow through with the other pieces of feedback on this document, on the staff summary document. The representations of the three models, I think, are very good and clearly define what we're suggesting could be considered for use. I think that's very good, and some version of that should make it into the final document that actually comes out. But I would have actually preferred to have had I guess in some way it felt like the real meat of the discussion came later in the document, and we should just make sure that the document that we publish has some of these illustrative examples right up front, so that people can take one quick look and see what are the models or what we're discussing. So that's just constructive feedback. Now, on the on the issue not yet discussed, number four, what do we require from IRD? Should it be collected and displayed uniformly and processed efficiently? I have a point of view. And this is my point of view. Given that in the new TLD round, all registries are being asked to provide thick whois or use the thick whois model rather than the thin whois model, and that there are going to be proxy registrations that are likely to continue to happen because that is not banned, it feels to me like there is some level of urgency to ensure that there is some way of uniform collection and display. So my own, as a working group member, my perspective is that this is important and we should, make some progress on that. Now, that's it. That's the end of my comments on this document. Thank you.
Rahm, thank you very much. This is Julie. That was extremely helpful, and we'll be sure to include those pointers in the preliminary report draft that we'll prepare for the work group to review, and we'll welcome your comments on that as well. Thank you.
Julie, this is Steve Metalitz. Can I make a comment here?
Please do, Steve, and welcome.
Thank you. I'm turning to the page that you said where we're picking up on page 7. And on this and the next few pages, there continues to be an issue that I think I've raised at least three or four times on these calls. and that is, I think there's some confusion between language and script. The first example is in English. That is accurate. I'm not sure whether that's what we discussed or whether we discussed having the registrants provide their WHOIS data in a must-be-present script, which would be perhaps U.S. ASCII 7, but that's not the same as English. And then if you look on page 9, the example there, figure 5, which is transliterated, that is referred to at the bottom of page 8 as publishing it in a must-be-present language, and yet it's obvious that is not in the same language as in the first, as in figure 3. That's a transliterated version in ASCII of a Russian address. I think, I'm not sure why this is not getting through, but I think we've discussed this several times, and I don't think anyone, there's a difference between saying everybody has to do everything in English and saying everybody has to do certain things in ASCII, in a certain form of ASCII. And
right, and thank you very much for that, Steve. This is Julie. I think there is, part of the issue here is that these models, these screenshots and examples and some of this text was pulled from the presentation that we had done at one of the past ICANN meetings. I know that you've made the point that we need to be accurate and talk about script and not say English and to talk about, you know, ASCII and to be consistent. And we've been, I think we've noted that as we've been taking the comments from these calls. But those, as I mentioned, and I don't know if you were on the call at that point just a little bit earlier now today, but Rahm had pointed out some inconsistencies in the staff summary document. This is a document that we produced really just sort of pulling language from the slides that we had previously produced on July 30th. We've not updated this document to reflect the conversations that we've been having as we've gone through the various issues in this document. So these inaccuracies, unfortunately, have remained in this document. They haven't been corrected, but they will be corrected in the draft preliminary report that we put together. We'll ensure that that we are using, you know, either saying ASCII or script, but not, you know, languages or English or so on.
Thanks for that explanation. I'm just saying that we should be sure we're using the language. You know, we're talking about this precisely, and I appreciate that this is not a finished document, but I'm just suggesting that when it becomes a preliminary report that we're viewing, but let's make sure that we are referring accurately when we mean ASCII script, let's say that, and when we mean the English language or some other language, let's say that.
Right. This is Julie. Thank you, Steve. I've made a note of that again as well, and we'll make sure that that is very clear in the draft that we prepare for you to review. Thank you again for that comment. Any other comments?
Phil, this is Jim. You had started this call with, you know, where we are on page 7 here with these three models. And a question that I have is, down at the bottom here, it says that we have not discussed, you know, which one of these models to recommend. And I want to ask if that question in particular is what this working group is going to do. Are we going to make a decision as to which one of these models to recommend, or are we going to suggest that we believe these are the three most likely models and this is what requires further study, is selecting which one of these models to go forward with?
This is Julie. Jim, thank you. That's an excellent question. Dave, do you have some thoughts on how we might want to do this? I mean, I think this is apropos to the conversation we had on the last call, which is what exactly will this group be doing? Will it, you know, in the preliminary report or in a final report?
Before Dave
before Dave responds, this is Ram. May I jump in as well? Just to add to what Jim was saying, I guess my sense of this is that we're going to make some recommendations, and they're going to go out to the GNSO and to ESSAC, as well as into, I don't know, I guess those are the two groups that it's going to go into, and we're going to recommend that the GNSO forms a working group. Is that, I thought that was where this was going, at least when I read the meeting notes from last time, which I missed. Sorry, thank you.
Dave, do you have some thoughts?
Yeah, this is Dave. I think that the decision ultimately has to be made by the people on the call, other than staff. This is in particular, you know, a topic that affects such a, you know, almost everyone in the community, and I don't want to be put in a position where staff looks like we're making the call, and that's not because I couldn't make it, but I think that it's useful for people to understand the issues that we've been wrestling with, because some people think that this is very simple, but the problem is if you put them all in the room just like us, everybody's very simple answer is different. So I think one of the better ways to proceed when you have that situation is to just treat it like, you know, your basic identify the problem set, the problem space, identify the solution set that we've come up with, and then have people consider whether we've looked at it thoroughly enough, and whether any emerge as being the most interesting or viable.
Thank you, Dave. So I guess the question then really goes out to this working group, and I see that both Edmund and Jeremy are on the call, our co-chairs, and that is what does this working group want to say? Do we either in our preliminary report or later with respect to recommendations? Are we recommending that another working group is formed, recommending additional work, picking a model, or saying that we discuss these models and there needs to be further work? And I think Dave is right. It's not something that staff can or should define, and it really is central to a lot of what this working group has been discussing for several months now. So I welcome comments from all of you.
This is Edmund.
Yeah, go ahead,
Ed. I wanted to ask Ram and others brought this question up. To me, of course, the preliminary report, and then it goes into the GNSO. I guess the GNSO Council will look into it. But it seems to me that, I guess it's a question whether people feel that this group itself is in fact a good group to finish the job and actually provide the recommendations, and then the GNSO would probably not have to create another working group, but rather at that point make a decision on whether or not to adopt the, final outcomes and final recommendations from this group. Is that not also a possible way forward?
Edmund, this is Ram. My response to that is very enthusiastic in joining your point of view. I don't think we need to create yet another working group. This got constituted correctly and appropriately, and so my own thought is to extend the term of this group and make sure that it actually tries to complete the work that it set out to do in the first place. But that charter extension, that may need to get some sort of ratification. I don't know what the process is, Edmund, but I like the end result that you're suggesting.
And so this is Jim. My only comment to that is that based on prior discussions in these meetings, we don't have Well, what's going to be the process for making a decision? Just to focus on these three models here, what's going to be our process for making a decision? And the reason why I ask the question is because we very clearly have at least two points of view that have not reconciled in discussions to date on these two models. So, you know, are we going to go by consensus decision process, or are we looking for unanimity? And if it is consensus, you know, are we going to make any attempt to represent a minority view? I am very much in favor of wanting to get to a place where we make a decision, but I think we have to face the fact that there are different points of view even on this committee, and that will only get worse in a larger community. I agree with that. So if we can decide here, that's great. But now we've got to talk about the process by which we're going to make a decision.
Thank you, Jim. This is Julie. We do actually have a decision-making process in as part of our charter. Section 5.1 of the charter and the 5.0 section rules of engagement, and I'll send around the link to this to everyone, says that the working group shall function on the basis of rough consensus. Meaning that all points of view shall be discussed until the co-chairs can ascertain that the point of view is understood and has been covered. Anyone with minority view shall be invited to include a discussion in the submission of any work group deliverables and should be documented as an appendix to these deliverables. I won't go through all of it, but basically the co-chairs, it says co-chair shall be responsible for designating each position as having one of the following designations, unanimous consent position, rough consensus position, where no more than one-third disagrees and at least two-thirds agree, strong support, which is at least a simple majority, but there is significant opposition, that is more than one-third, or no majority position. And I'll send around the link to the charter so you can see the details, but there is a process for coming to a decision and also for taking into consideration dissenting views.
So thank you for bringing that out again. I just think that that's important that we all understand where we're headed here, because this is going to be one of our more contentious issues in choosing between these models.
Thank you, Jim. Other thoughts with respect?
Yes, Julie, this is Bob Hutchinson. I have a couple of thoughts on the models and the process.
Thank you. Please go ahead, Bob.
One is that I think models 1 through 3 are not inclusive of all of the models that we should consider. I think there's at least a fourth model, which has to do with translation of any registration language into one of the major languages of the world. Okay, so we don't have an option for a Model 4, which includes translation or automatic translation or computer-assisted translation.
Hi, Bob. This is Steve Shane.
Yes.
I think we discussed this translation issue at the very beginning, and the working group consensus that is the translation is too expensive, and that automated translation.
Whoa! I didn't say that. I said that the model should be represented, because other people are going to read this report, and they're going to go, "Okay, these are the three models that you guys came up with." I don't care if you put a model in here that the group rejects, but we should put it in for completeness. I guess I don't agree that it's rejected for expense reason. There's lots of translation facilities now available, and I guess I don't think out of hand that we should reject computer assisted translation. Well, the reason that I say that is because what if you are Korean and you're trying to do intellectual property rights and the registrant is in Hindi, okay? We're looking at it from a very English-centric viewpoint. I think that we need to look at this from the standpoint of the internationalized community and where the Internet is heading. And I think computer-assisted automated translation is probably the right answer.
Well, that's the first time I heard it. But what do others think? We're happy to include it in.
This is Edmund. I think a couple of things. I actually agree with you, Steve, that we did have this discussion, and at that time we thought that generally the group, at least my feeling was that generally the group felt that would not be a good option. But I actually agree with Bob that if we are going to publish the report, we should include it. It was discussed, as you said as well, and we should include it for completeness, and also through a preliminary report that could actually get more comments into it if there is, overwhelmingly interest or support in that. Maybe that's something that we need to look into. Personally, though, we probably should. It's just my personal view that we might want to distinguish between something of a policy mandate, a mandated operational thing from a policy point of view, versus some tools that registrars might want to provide to attract registrants and stuff. So I'm personally, I think translation might be problematic, as in not only in terms of cost, but also in terms of accuracy and other types of liability if you want to provide it. But again, I think including it in the preliminary report might be useful regardless for completeness.
Okay, that's my observation about the models. The second observation that I have is about the process, and I believe that the whatever models, maybe four or five, whatever we come up with, we should go to Cartagena with a definition, a reasonable understanding of those models, and try to get a straw vote from the GNSO members or body or presentation time that would allow us to get feedback from the wider community as to which model they would prefer us to pursue. And then we can look at how much consensus there is within the community and at least get that feedback.
Bob, this is Julie. That's a very interesting point. I think this group should discuss how it wants to present this disciplinary report to encourage comments. For example, in addition to submitting the report to the GNSO and to the ESSAC, we could ask, for instance, that the GNSO, if we send it to the GNSO counselors, we could ask that they send it on to their stakeholder groups and constituencies, and we could ask for a particular response back. We also have the option of publishing the preliminary report for public comment from the wider community prior to Cartagena, although we'd need to check the timing on that because we do usually try, I think, not to overload the public with comments immediately prior to a meeting. But Edmund, I'd be particularly interested in your thoughts with respect to a way to approach this on the GNSO side to try to engender some helpful comments from the community.
That's interesting because when Bob brought it up, I was thinking, whether staff can suggest anything, because the GNSO sort of sessions are quite tight, and we'll probably have to figure figure a slot. That would probably come on the Saturday or Sunday. But then again, it's not easy to get everyone in the same room. There are multiple sessions. Usually there are two sessions going on. So I guess we should need to find a good slot if we want as much participation as possible. Maybe just before or just after the new GTLD session or something like that, so that, you know, more people is in the room. But in general, I guess, you know, we just need to work with the GNSO schedule staff. I'm not entirely sure. Probably with the chair and Glenn. So perhaps staff can help us out a little bit better there. But to find a slot that works for during the GNSO sort of workshops and over the weekend before the ICANN meeting.
Edmund, this is Julie. Actually, we will have a slot to be able to give a presentation to the GNSO Council in their working session, either on Saturday or Sunday. I'll be working with Glenn de Saint-Jury to schedule that. But we will definitely have a slot. We have done, and generally the council makes time for updates on any of the related working groups, so this one will have a slot. And the other item that we can schedule, and I certainly, if the working group thinks it's useful, I had anticipated that we would want to schedule a public session, probably on Thursday of the meeting, to present our preliminary findings and to encourage discussion with the community. I do it earlier in the week, but as you may know, the Monday is generally pretty much full up of sort of bespoke sessions, and Tuesday, and when Tuesday is problematic because it's constituency day and so on, and Wednesday has other things as well. But we certainly will have the opportunity to have a public session on the work group's work.
Well,
I think that sounds good. I think that sounds good, but I guess my point is, the timing is important in order to get as much participation we want. And in terms of the public one, we might want to look at, I don't know whether there are other WHOIS stuff going on to try to put it in times that are more proximate to each other, so people who are interested in this general topic can be there.
Right, and actually, I'll work with Liz Gaster on that. I imagine that there will be WHOIS items on the agenda, and I think as we've done before, we will try to make these schedule them together back to back if possible, so that we get the same people who are interested.
This is Steve Metalitz. Could I get in the queue?
Yes. Any other comments, Edmund, or I will move on to Steve.
No. Steve, please go ahead.
Thank you. I just had two comments. One, getting back to what Bob said about the other model, I think I'm fine with other models being presented, but I think with that whatever we present in terms of a preliminary report probably ought to reflect some of the discussion that we've had about these models. For example, the point about the new internationalized domain name registrant, if you will, part of the discussion is that I recall about Model 1 was that anybody, whether in a country that uses ASCII type script or a country that uses some other script, anyone that's participating now is already has some ability to deal with ASCII scripts because that's how all domain names have been expressed up till now. That obviously is changing, but one of the arguments for Model 1 was that it would be relatively easy to implement based on the experience of the people that have been working in the system now. Now, that may, you know, that may, people may disagree with that, but I think it's worth having our report reflect that we've talked about some of these issues in preparing these models. Secondly, I think what would probably be most useful to the broader community or to the GNSO, if you're just looking at that little community, is not just having a document that presents different models, but having some pro and con arguments put forward about the different models. So Bob obviously has a pro, he may have a pro position on the translation model, and other people think that it's, you know, it may not be the best model. It would be good to have some of those arguments summarized in our report that people can look at prior to the Cartagena meeting. I think that would certainly improve the quality of discussion likely to happen there. I just think if you put out some models and don't really explain why some people favor some or some people favor others or think others are problematic, then most of the community isn't really going to know how to react to that. And they're interested, I think they would be interested to know what people think about these different models, and that would help promote a better discussion if we want to have one in Cartagena. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Other thoughts?
Yeah, this is Bob Hutchinson again. I guess in terms of process, I wasn't trying to dictate how we would go do this. I think there's lots of ways we can get feedback. I don't know whether staff can tell us right now whether they can do a survey off of the ICANN website for different for the four different models or five different models. Is that a possible option? In other words, we don't necessarily have to get feedback from plenary sessions at an ICANN meeting. We can do it through other channels. I guess my feeling was I would prefer to see feedback from the community at large help steer us, okay? I'm not, in any event, that's my comment.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's a really good question about whether or not we could do a survey of the community. Dave or Steve, do you know whether or not that's something that is feasible?
Hi, this is Steve. So Bob was suggesting is we create a short document with the three models and put out a survey to the community to solicit their viewpoints, right? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I'm saying that I would prefer to, when we get to the models that we think we're considering, I would like to have feedback from the larger community. There's two groups of the larger community I'm thinking of. One is the general ICANN community, and the other is the GNSO board itself. They're the ones who are going to have to ratify this, whatever comes of this. And if they're radically different, I guess the other form is how would you ask for feedback? And I guess my technique for asking for feedback would be give us your number one choice and your number two choice out of these four or five options, or give us a completely ranked list of how you see this, and then we can do a statistical analysis on.
Okay.
On that.
So would a public comment be okay to get the community feedback? So the working group.
I guess I would definitely not want a public comment. This group has essentially done distilling down into a set of options and
okay,
you know, supporting eight different options as opposed to five is not helpful,
right.
I don't think.
then shouldn't this group make a decision through the process that Julie discussed earlier? That's how the decision in the working group are being made, right? The working group make a decision, and then you open up a public comment. And if the public thinks, you know, very different from the working group, then maybe the working group come back and revisit that decision.
This is Steve Matouch. Could I make a comment here?
Just go ahead, Steve.
I kind of hear Bob and Steve talking past each other a little bit, if I'm understanding it right. I mean, I agree with Bob. You wouldn't want to just say public comment. What do you think should be done in this area? I think that what might be viable is to have a document that says here are the 3, 4, or 5, however many models we've talked about in the working group. Here are some points pro and con about them. Based among this limited number, how would you, the public, rank them, or are there some that you think are particularly good or particularly not good? I think that might be one way of getting this feedback that wouldn't depend on, you know, who has the time and money to travel to a particular spot on the globe at a particular time. So I don't think that's the two. Public comment doesn't have to be wide open. Anything you want to say, you know, tell us anything you want to say. It can be here are a finite number of options. Which ones do you think are better and why?
Okay. I think my understanding is Bob and I disagree on the point that Bob think we should not make a decision. We should just present the options and then let the community decide. My understanding is the decision-making process is the decision lies within this working group. The working group make a recommendation or no recommendation, you know, based on the consensus process, and then go on public comment. So we make the decision first. The working group make the decision first, and then for community, instead of just opening up for community. But, you know, what do others think? I could be wrong. I mean,
so this is Jim. What I hear Bob asking for is getting some guidance from the community, not for them to make a decision. So we want to put the options out there and, you know, see what kind of input we might get from the community. And then we can take that under advisement, you know, do some statistical analysis on the results and also consider our own view based on our discussions about these things in order to make a decision. That's what I hear him asking.
Right. This is Edmund, and I sort of agree to what Jim just said. And this group should come up with the recommendations and, you know, sort of getting the public comments from the community sort of at large. But ultimately, we need to be the ones providing the recommendations, even though, you know, at this particular point, because it's preliminary, we might not have a final solution, so to speak, to recommend. If we have a number of models, we should definitely talk about what was talked about here in the group, and also provide the direction for the community. And if they feel that the direction is completely wrong, that's when, you know, they can put in comments indicating that.
Thank you, Edmund. So what I'm hearing then is working group members suggesting that at this juncture we have several models, but it would be useful to get some input from the community with respect to preferences for the models, and in a way to you know, better inform the decision or the recommendation that this working group will make. But at this juncture, it would be useful to to get some outside input from the community. Does that sound correct? So if we were to do that, then I think Bob had suggested not trying to do something in a public comment, but if we did a public comment that was asking for feedback just on the model, basically we'd have a, you know, do a summary of the discussion. We'd need to present the discussion around each of the models, but this would be sort of a request for comments and feedback, or however we want to put it. This would not be a publication of our, you know, preliminary report or recommendations, but a way to gather some more information. Would that be? But I also heard the possibility of maybe having a survey as opposed to going through the public comment process. I'd be interested to know if the working group members have a preference. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't know the feasibility of doing a survey, but certainly that's something that I can, you know, as staff we can look into and see how feasible that is. But is there a preference between doing a survey or a formal public comment? Any thoughts?
Well, this is Jim. So I think a survey would be a better positioning on what we're looking for. I mean, to me, the problem with a public comment is it opens the door for, I don't know, too much input. You know, we're really looking for particular guidance on where we already are. If you do a public comment, then you kind of have to leave the door open for people to be able to make arbitrary comments. And I don't think that that's, at least I don't, my sense is that's not what we're looking for here. You know, we've sort of already arrived at an interesting place, and we're trying to get ahead of what are likely to be some comments that we'll get down the road. So we're looking for guidance here. So I prefer a survey.
Thank you, Jim. Other thoughts?
This is Steve Metalis. I'd agree with that. I think that would be more useful than, and maybe the label public comment would send the wrong message.
Thank you, Steve. Bob, what do you think?
I'm happy with whatever the group comes up with. I'm happy with a survey. I'm also happy if the group says, we haven't got time for any of this nonsense. Let's just figure out what our recommendation is and go with that. I just thought that it would be a stronger process from my personal you if we had some feedback from the wider audience and so on before we, you know, charged off into the woods with a, like, final recommendation.
So I have a question about timing. We do have various events. We will schedule it at Cartagena, recognizing that, you know, not everybody can go to the meeting. So we need some other way to gather information as well. If we want to have something to present at Cartagena, we need to have that, whatever that is, whether it's just another presentation, whether it's a preliminary report, whether or not it's a set of questions on the models, we need to have it published, ready for the community to be able to read no later than the 15th of November is the cutoff for any documents that will be considered at Cartagena. And so my question is, what do we want to, what does the working group want to produce for Cartagena? Is it a set of questions that we can then also put out in a survey? Because I should say that we probably... I'm not sure that we would have time to put out a survey, to gather the information and to synthesize it and put it into a report by the 15th of November. We really only have about a month to try to pull this together. So do we want to have sort of our survey document set of questions be the items for publication and perhaps have a survey open concurrent with a public session in Cartagena. And I'm not suggesting any alternative over another. I'm just looking for some guidance. Edmund, Jeremy, any thoughts on how we might approach this?
Julie, this is Edmund. I have to apologize. I was somewhat distracted for a couple minutes just now. I didn't catch the last part. You were talking about an approach from now to Cartagena.
Right. My question was that given, if we want to have a presentation at Cartagena, so you know, both an update for the GNSO Council, but also a public session in coordination with a WHOIS session, for instance. And there's been discussion here about having a survey, and I was suggesting that we may not have time to post a survey and to gather the survey data, analyze it, and roll it into, say, a preliminary report in time for the publication deadline for Cartagena, which is the 15th of November, so giving us just a little over a month. So I'm asking, what should we try to prepare to have published and to present at Cartagena, and conceivably we could have a survey go out prior to Cartagena, and we could emphasize at Cartagena the importance of people responding to the survey, and we could also use that as a topic for our presentations, our sessions. I'm just looking for guidance as far as what we want to try to prepare for Cartagena.
Sure. Yeah, in fact, I actually jot down a note just before I was distracted earlier that, I think survey's great, and, the suggestion, and I surely, I was just going to ask what staff, how quick staff can put it together, and also it will take us some time to refine the survey, perhaps, because I guess people understand that surveys are only useful if they're developed properly. So I think what you just suggested probably works best if we can get this preliminary report out the door first so people can have the document before Cartagena and then also have the survey either right during that time or just a little bit before or even, if we run out of time or even slightly after. I think that would be fine too, but for me, of course, others please speak up. For me, it seems like having a preliminary report out would be more useful as a sort of a departing point for discussion, point of departure for discussion in Cartagena.
Thank you, Edmund. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, this is Steve Metallett. So as I see it, the two choices would be, do we focus in the next few weeks on getting a survey out and then in Cartagena, publicize the survey and encourage people to respond to it, or do we focus on getting a preliminary report out, including our recommendation on these options, and then have that discussion in Cartagena? Is that the two options that are being considered now?
I think that's right. Or conceivably, we could do both. We could do the preliminary report and also put out a survey.
Well, I think those two are contradictory. The preliminary report says this is what we think should be done, and the survey was to get us feedback from the community on that.
Well, not necessarily. The preliminary report, one of the things we discussed recently was the preliminary report could say, here's what we've discussed so far, here are the things we think we need more information on, and therefore we're doing this survey. I mean, it really can say anything you want it to say. It's preliminary.
I'm trying to simplify this so that it's one or the other, because I think whatever is done has to be done the next 3 or 4 weeks, and I don't know that we can do both those things. But
that's a good good question, and I don't know that the, I don't know the answer to that either. I heard someone else speaking up.
Yeah, this is Jim. I'm sorry. It's the top of the hour, and I have another call to move to here. I would like to see us do both in these two options, but if we can only do one, I'd prefer to see the survey before the preliminary report. Although, obviously, the survey will need some context, and we'll have to figure out how to do that. In any case, I need to drop off at this point.
Jim, just quickly a clarification on that. You mean survey out before Tatiana, or the survey results in and we do the analysis before Cartagena?
The survey out and before Cartagena. And, in fact, we could probably allow the survey to close after Cartagena so that we can also use the opportunity to promote it. I just put that out there as an option.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim, and thanks for joining.
This is Steve.
Please go ahead, Steve.
We could also, in the preliminary report, just capture the discussion we had a few months back. We did went through each model very carefully, you know, outlining the pros and cons, the costs, cost to whom, at what cost. You know, we could put that into the preliminary report for information, and maybe the working group, you know, we just presented the way it is. There's no recommendation from the working group on which one we should choose, and instead, you know, we just saying that, you know, we would like to hear your input, hear the community's input on this survey. How does that sound?
Any thoughts on that question?
As I mentioned earlier on, I think I personally feel that seems to work, but it seems like from a couple of the comments, people might want to do the survey first, and you know, before you even have a preliminary report. On that particular point, my sort of inclination is that, my feeling is that usually, if we put out a report, that helps generate more discussion than putting out a survey, because that's the nature of, I guess, how people respond. I'd still like to be able to be in a position to publish something as a preliminary report before Cartagena, along with the survey, which would go out, and then, you know, that would actually drive a little bit more attention to the subject matter. But, you know, if people feel overwhelmingly that that we should not have the report yet and focus on the survey, I think that's fine. In the meantime, though, I mean, in the next 2 weeks, perhaps, in terms of staff, if I'm hearing correctly, then perhaps trying to put up something, drafting a survey might be the an important, you know, part of the work, and helping to draft that, and then perhaps in our next couple of meetings we'll be able to make a better decision on how to go about the whole thing.
Thank you, Edmund.
This is Ram. Julie, sorry, this is Ram. I have to leave for another call. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ram. Edmund, we'll take this as an action item. Staff will attempt to do a draft survey. And then perhaps also, I mean, the survey is going to need to have some kind of text with it, some context with respect to what are the options, where did these come from, you know, what has the working group been doing. And that could be the preliminary report, if we don't want to call it a report, since we're not really making recommendations. We're really seeking more information. We can call it something else. But perhaps we could also draft up the text that would go along with this survey to give context to the survey, and we could take that up as an action item in the next 2 weeks prior to our next call.
Sounds good.
Good. Okay, well, we are 6 minutes after. I don't want to keep anybody. If there's no other business for this call, we'll hold our next call in 2 weeks at the same time, and we'll try as staff to see if we can get something out for you to look at prior to that call.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, everyone. It's a very productive call. I appreciate it, and I wish you all a good morning, afternoon, or evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.